Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Praise be to Allah, the cherished sustainer of the worlds.
Ar-Rahmanir Rahim.
Most gracious, most merciful.
Maliki Yawmiddin.
Master of the Day of Judgment.
Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in.
You do we worship, and your aid do we seek.
Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim.
Show us the straight way.
Sirat al-lazina an'amta.
The way of those whom you have bestowed with your grace.
Alayhim. Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim. Wala al-dallin.
Those whose portion is not wrath, and those who go not astray. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast. Good morning, this is Thomas Abdul Salam, your host, the Twin Servant of Peace, and I want to welcome you to American Muslim 360. This morning we're going to be discussing Surah Al-Asra, which is the 103rd chapter or Surah of the Quran, and it is a very often repeated or verse or chapter that is used in prayer. A lot of people refer to it. It is a very, very popular surah in the Quran. And so we're going to go over that today and hopefully give it some applicable real life applications in your life. And again, whether you're Muslim or not, these things are applicable while we couch them as religion or spiritual things and so forth, and clearly we include God or Allah in our conversation. Just remember, these things that we're talking about, particularly if I say from Quran or the life of Prophet Muhammad or just things in general, they're applicable to the human life. And this verse, this chapter, is actually addressed to the all of mankind, and it is what we call al-asra. Al-asra usually is in, translated as the time or by the time. And so one of the things we're saying today is that, you know, we refer to time as money, you know, move, my time is money, my time is expensive. Well, to be honest with you, it's more expensive than you think. It's more expensive than you think. Nobody can pay you enough for your time. No one can pay you enough. You're never earning enough money in relationship to time. So we, in this particular surah, we're cautioned to take a new look at time, to think of time differently, not just the 8 hours that we spend at work or the time we spend trying to be successful in this life, trying to earn things that we want in this life and so forth, but time is a divine gift given to us. And it is something that we have to take as such, put it in that frame of mind that this is something that's divine. Time is a created thing, and it's created for you, but not to sell, to market it, but to use in order to achieve your divine success in this life and in the next. How do you get your piece of the earth? As we say here, success is about your earthly journey and your heavenly purpose. And time plays a big role in that. So we want to spend a little time today, this morning, going over this verse, talking about it. Our call-in number is 646-716-4478. And the chat room is also open if you wish to comment and or ask a question, or if you want to call in and just listen, it is okay. Press 1, I will know that you want to conversate or have a question or a comment, and then I will go with you. If you do not press 1, you can just sit on the line, and I will not disturb you. This is Michael Jackson for all time.
Gotta know that for all time. Say just
This is AM 360, Thomas Abdul Salam. We're talking about Al-Asr today, and the is translated as by the time. But I think the meaning, the significance of it is that all of mankind has been handed a gift. Everybody has been given a gift of time. And you know, when Iblis didn't do what I guess you could say was commanded to do, he asked for respite. Give me respite. Give me time. And then he stated how he was going to use that time. He was going to use that time to sort of disavow man, to show that man was unworthy of the position, the divine gift that God had given him. And so we all use our time differently, but we also understand that it is a gift. It is something that God has given to us and we did not give to ourselves. So how we use the gift, how we appreciate the gift is very, very important, because it is only, in some cases, on loan to you for a period of time. So it's not something that you have total access and mastery over. You don't have the mastery of time, but you do have the use of it. And you can use it in order to produce good results or bad results. But how you use your time, God has left up to us. So in Al-Asr, we're reminded not to be fooled, not to be deceived by time. Do not be deceived by it. You know, there is a hadith here I will read to you. And it says, do not admire yourself. Sometimes you may be deceived by your property and your bodily health by supposing that you will last forever. Sometimes you are deceived by your long life, your children, and your friends by thinking that you will be saved by them. Know that you will only emerge from the darkness of disillusion and desire by sincerely turning in repentance. Okay. Time and our possessions of this world can be very deceiving. We think that this somehow, my status in life, my station in life, is going to last forever. Somehow it will never change. Or because I have so many friends, my children are so much in numbered or so successful, that somehow all of this will last forever. And we see this played out. And when we see, and I say particularly sometimes celebrities, but when a young person is loses their life very early, you know, sort of what I call takes us by surprise. Oh, they have such a promising future and various different things of that nature. But see, by token of time, we are deceived. We do not know how promising our future is, nor how long that future is and measured out. Because God has measured out the time. He has delineated time for us, and each one of us have a different relationship with time. As I say to people a lot of times, life is time sensitive. So you don't want to waste your time in idle things. You need to decide what is it that you want to do with this gift. Someone has bestowed upon you a gift that you cannot give to yourself. If you had all of the money in the world, if you had all of the possessions of the earth, you could not buy enough time. You couldn't buy one idol of time, really, you know, which God has already given in abundance to you or in abundance to the world. So it was a speech a long time ago, I guess, by Elijah Muhammad, that was called The Theology of Time. There's another book, I believe, also called The Theology of Time, you know. And it is something that we have to understand. It is a theology. It is not a science. It is sort of a spiritual concept. Time is a spiritual concept that needs to be studied so that we use it to the best of our advantage. And so Asura comes to remind us, to be a reminder to us, because as it says in the Asura, and the next one is about the man. Now in Asana, you know, a verily man or humankind, all of mankind, is lost. They're confused. They don't understand time. And so it is confusing to them. It causes them to, in some cases, lose track of time because they misunderstand it. So by it, we are lost. By time, we are lost in our own deceptions. So this is the purpose of why we have to be reminded. We need constant reminders that time is not on our side. Time is not on our side. We need to stop, take a look, and ask ourselves, so how do we perceive our own existence in relationship to time? You know, what do we do? Are we headed in the right direction? So we need to be headed in the right direction, you know. And one of the other things about Asura is that Allah is also pointing out to us that every day we are losing. Time is slipping away. It's not the same as it was yesterday. The day before, time was one thing. But today, time now is another. Our position, our situations have changed, and so forth. So we need to see it as something that is slipping away from us. This is where we come to really be lost, because we think that, oh, that I still have time. But every day, it is moving further and further away from us. And again, the misuse of it, or the lack of understanding of it, only further puts us in a position of where we're being squeezed. And one of the meaning, I guess, of Asura is to be pressed or to be squeezed, to put under, maybe you can even maybe call it, say, be put under pressure. And time should sort of put us under some type of a pressure, not in the sense that, you know, we hurry back and forth from here to there. But we understand that this thing is closing in on us. It is closing in on us. And the lack of how we use the gift is putting more pressure. It's putting more pressure upon us. And in the Quran, one of the things that Asra also is connected to is the declining of the day, or the setting of the sun. The day is becoming short. So we say, you know, that the day is declining, and the day is becoming, so life is becoming short. So when we can put these things, and I say in perspective, we should begin to understand better. In one place, I guess the word asir is used when talking about Prophet Joseph, about the dream. The person says that they see someone pressing wine. Okay, the same word basically, asir, from asra, is pressing. Something you have to squeeze life out of, time. So a lot of us say, man, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. You know, you're not, everybody has the same 24 hours, 7 days a week. And you can look over and see, what are they accomplishing with their time? What are they doing with their time compared to what you're doing with yours? People squeeze out of life, out of time. They squeeze life out of it. They produce something with it. They understand that this is a tool for them to use for their own productivity, to improve and advance their life. So their concept of it is such that they employ it. They embrace it. They don't curse time. They use it. They don't say, oh man, I just don't have time to get all this done. People sit down and they plan. They put together a game plan, as you wish, goals, objectives. Because they're trying to squeeze out of time more time, so to speak, more life. How do I become happier? How do I become more satisfied? How do I serve my Lord better? Well, when I have a good handle on mental concept, philosophy of time, then I can approach the subject better. I can approach it with a mind aware of that what I have, while it may be shrinking, it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter, like the day is. You know, the sun rises early in the morning. Depending on where you are, the sun is already rising or has risen. Where I am, the sun is rising, California. So as the sun rises, I have a lot of hope for the day. I see the day, the brand new day, and I'm saying, wow, I'm up early. The early bird catches the worm. I can make a lot out of this day. But by the time noontime rolls around and the sun starts to decline, I'm wondering, what have I done with my time? And there's also at a point at that time, at the declining of the sun, is when we, the Muslim, has to make salat. It's time to stop for salat, to reassess, to understand that this thing that I am in, sort of in pursuit of, and time is a measurement of, I understand that I need to stop and give praise to Allah for what He has given me this time, and that I'm using it properly, that I'm doing something productive in my life, as well as hopefully to help others in their life. So we stop at what we call zuhr prayer. Okay, when the sun first begins to decline, we stop and we make salat. We recognize time. But then when we have the noonday, the afternoon prayer, we call asr, which is name taken after this particular surah, asr. Is now the sun has declined in such a way we know that the day is short. We know now, right here, right now, that I have very little time left before the sun sets, and I'm plunged into darkness. It should be a reminder to us that we say we're in a race against time, but we're really in a race, as Allah says, we're in a race to do good. We're in a race to produce good deeds. We're not in a race against time. He's telling us here in this Quran, this surah, you are lost. You're not going to win that race. That's already a given. God tells us that. If you're in the race against time, you're going to lose that race. It's not a productive race to enter. But if you would enter in the race to do good deeds, this is the best race. So this is what Allah calls us to do. You're going to do better. You're going to win. You're going to be more successful in this life and in the next life if you use your time to do good deeds, to produce good work. So we don't want to race against time. We want to race and challenge each other in the doing of good things. So Allah tells us to be watchful over your prayers and the mill of prayer. And do you stand obedient to God? Okay? Guard the mill of prayer. Wasta, the mill. Be careful, because if you don't take care of the middle, okay, we get happy about the beginning, but in the middle, sometimes we begin to want to give up. We get laxed. Again, we get in the middle of life, in our what we call our prime of life, in the middle of life. People are just happy. They're just in the pursuit of worldly goods for the most part. But it is this middle period of time in life that you must guard. Where what we think we're in the prime, we're at our top of our strength, we're young, we're vibrant, our children are coming in, we're married, where we may be job wise. Things are, we see ourselves as being very productive, having much time, much, we feel like we're kind of in charge of time. So Allah says, be watchful. Be watchful of this time and be prayerful during this time. Stay obedient to God. Many youth, whether Muslims or Christians or otherwise, they may be brought up in the with divine understanding, going to church, going to the masjid, going to the temple, whatever. But they get in their youth and they begin to slip. They begin to slip away. They begin to move away from that training, that upbringing. God is not as important because they're so productive. They're so interested in building this life, gathering together the fruits of the life, that they don't are not mindful of their prayer. So God tells us, be careful, Asra, Asra. Be careful of this middle period. Be careful because you're in the decline. You think you're in the prime. You know, we say when we get over 50, now we're in our declining days. But when we get there, for a lot of part of, we become more remindful of we don't have a lot of time left. So that's sort of the Asra. But the middle period between Duha and Asra, we can become relaxed in life. Because we too sort of reach that pinnacle, at apex, and we say to ourselves, wow, look at me. Look how young I am. Look how beautiful I am. Look how vibrant I am. Look how much time I have on my hands and how much what I'm going to do with this time that I have. You know, I'm going to take this life. I got the life by the tail. I got this thing. But eventually, we realize that we don't have it at all. It has us, and we don't have it. So the being watchful, being mindful of this process, of this fact, Allah tells us in Surah Asra, again, verily, man is in loss. He is in loss when it comes to time. So confused about it that he doesn't serve himself or herself well. Do not serve yourself well by your own thinking of time. So slow down. Get a new handle on. Get a new perspective on time, so that we can be able to honor ourselves and our God.
Taste of morning sunrise brings joy to my eyes. To wake up and see the bluebirds flying high up in the sky. And to know you are the one that makes raindrops with the sun. And to know you're the key that brings the joy inside of me. Thank you.
To America Muslim 360, our call-in number 646-716-4478. And again, the chat room is open, and no matter from where you're listening from, we want to welcome you here this morning and hope and pray that you have a great and blessed day. We make it a blessed day. You know. So next one is that in this surah it is addressed to man in Sana. And Sana is, again, including both man and woman, female. So it's addressed to mankind or humanity. But we take it as a general call to all human beings to be mindful of time, and that as creatures, as men, as women, we have a tendency to become big-headed. We think that we, or as they say, maybe say we're all that in a bag of chips. Well, God is letting us know we're not all that in a bag of chips. So we forget, we lose consciousness of what our purpose in life is, what this journey is about. We tend to get caught up in, say, worldly matters, the pursuit of worldly things, possessions, property, becomes our measurement of our success or the power or our worth in the life. So God sends reminders, or asra. Let me remind you. Let me press up on you this point. Let me press this point up on you about what you perceive as something working for you, when in actuality it's working against you. So let me reorientate you so that you can see it correctly. So God is calling out to every one of us, male and female, to stop and take a look at it. Really look at the days, the hours, the months, the years, and see what the real value, what is the real value of it. You know, you can think back 5 years, let alone yesterday, almost some cases, we can't remember what we did. We don't know what took place. We, you know, where man is a creature who forgets, who is not mindful, does not take inventory, sometimes becomes full of folly, playfulness is what I'm trying to really say, folly. So in this mixed bag, maybe call it human nature, that we have. It is good for us to be reminded, to say, hey, look, where am I? You know, this whole thing we call Father Time, you know, I'm out here selling it for $8 an hour, $20 an hour, you know, is my time not worth more than that? And how do I multiply? How do I increase the value? How do I squeeze out of it more value? God says, he gives us four things of how we can get more value, how we can create gold from this time. But it is our human nature that holds us back from using the time properly. Particularly when we're not mindful, God is not at the forefront of our thinking, of our behavior, our actions, of how do we go about life. So when it's not in front of us, and this is why, you know, we should understand that time should do this for us. It itself should remind you that God is in charge. That one day you're going to have what we call resurrection or judgment, a day of requital. That this whole thing is moving to some conclusion. It's moving to a conclusion. And when we're reminded of that, when we keep this conscious in ourselves, then we should have God in front of us. The other portion of that is time should almost maybe should also remind us of death. The death is coming, you know. The declining of the day, night is coming. You can't escape night. Allah says, I've created night and day. And each one of them just swims along. They keep going in a circular motion. And you cannot escape it. So we know that our birth automatically sends us into death. We know this is the journey. This is the journey. So it should remind us that this thing that we call life, all this time we have on our hands, it is coming to a decline. There is a decline to it. Just as the sun begins to decline, life begins to decline. So do not allow our youth to fool us. Again, until we get 50 years old, we don't think much about it a lot of times. But yet young people are dying all around us every day. So why are we not paying attention to death? Paying attention that this thing is honestly time sensitive. And I don't know when my time is going to be. Prophet Muhammad said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, work as though you're going to live 1,000 years. But live as though you're going to die tomorrow. So we always have to be mindful that time is in the decline. It is squeezing me, and I'm trying to squeeze it. It's squeezing me, and I'm squeezing it. I'm trying to get the most out of it. It's trying to get the most out of me. But it's also reminding me that this thing is going to come to a conclusion. So don't race against it. Decide that, as it goes on to say, that accept those who believe and do righteous deeds. How do you make the best of time? So God tells us, he says, okay, you don't have a good understanding of this. You know, you want to market your time in the open market. You know, you count time by your money, by your possessions. You know, you count it in terms of years of life. God says, let me tell you how I count it. Let me show you how I count time. I count time in deeds, in actions and behaviors, character building. This is how God counts time. So we need to get on God's time, have God's frame of mind of time, because he created it. He gave you the gift. He said, this is the gift. I've given you this time, this period, but let me tell you why I've given it to you. I've given it to you so that you will do good deeds. You should be about good deeds, because otherwise you are in loss. You cannot work hard enough. You cannot accomplish enough. You can't gather together enough things to save yourself from time. But if you do these things, it will make time work for you versus you working for it. Do good deeds. Be good to others. What are we doing, as they say, what have you done for me lately? Where are we on our good deeds chart? When is the last time maybe we, and particularly during this, I say this time of year, the what we call the Christian Christmas season, you know, whether we Muslim or not, we recognize as this is the Christmas season. It becomes Christmas season, just like we have Ramadan season, I guess. But during this time, people are mindful, more mindful than maybe in the other 11 months. They're more mindful of giving to others, being charitable to other people, recognize the homeless. They recognize the children without jackets or coats in this wintertime. People are without blankets. People are going hungry. Our hearts become soft. Our hearts become mindful that this is a time for doing good deeds. So people are busy doing more than what they've done before. If not, they haven't done anything all year and they're doing something. They want to do something good for someone, even in the sense of maybe in how they buy the gift, how they go and shop for the gift. They know that someone in their family or friend or coworker has an honest need, and they're going to bestow upon them this gift to give it to them so that they won't have this need any longer. They will be better off, hopefully. That's their hope. So God says to us, this is a time for doing good deeds. All right. I skipped over one, but we're right now good deeds, and we'll continue there. But good deeds. So what are you doing? What can you do in this life? How can you put yourself on God's time frame? By doing good deeds. Finding something that you can involve yourself in, and hopefully not for just during this time or during this season, but get something that you can always be involved in. You like working with youth, you know, you have battered women shelters, you have the elderly, the older people who need help. Maybe someone just needs their lease raked, a neighbor next door who is not able, maybe disabled. What are you doing? What can you think of? Because this is how God is measuring your life. He said, I've measured it out. I measured what you call time out. And then in this is how I'm going to then measure you out. Okay? The one we skipped over is called, it was those who believe. First, those who believe. Those who honestly believe in God. Those who believe that there is a day to come where all of this time that I've spent will be judged, will be taken into account, and I'm responsible and I'm accountable for this time. So all of us become or should become accountants. We should become CPAs, certified public accountants in our own life. Begin to take inventory to see what is the worth of your life. What is the worth of your deeds and your actions? What have I done with this thing? Where is it going? What can I, is there other things that I can do? And it doesn't mean that we don't have to also take care of ourselves. We're talking with you. That's part of your good deeds. You should be taking care of yourself. You should be involved in that process in your life. So this is AM 360, Thomas Abdul Salam. I always welcome everybody who comes to listen, and we appreciate that you do come again at any point in time. You can call in at 646-716-4478. This is Human Nature. don't let human nature get you out of the game. One thing I want to say again, there's a saying, or I believe it's a saying here. I'll just read it here. It says, one of the old scholars said that he had learnt the meaning of this verse of Asra, man is in loss, from an ice seller who had been calling again and again. He said, the iceman said, have pity on him whose capital is melting. He said to himself, the scholar here said to himself, that it was the meaning of surely man is in loss. Time passes and one's lifetime ends, but he does not obtain any reward. Then he, in this case, is in loss. Okay, the iceman is in the street and he's calling, be have pity on me. My capital, my ice, that which I can make my money off is melting. Come buy the ice. Come buy it. Hurry and buy it. Have pity on me. My capital is melting. It says, this is the meaning of the surah al-Asra, or the term, man is in loss. Your capital is melting. Your capital is melting. That which you use to earn the better things in life is melting away from you. Time is melting away from you. So we're cautioned to then for those accept those who believe. We must be or have an inkling towards belief, because it is the driving force behind our actions. You know? We need to have or understand, why do we do what we do? What do you believe in? What do you believe about the Almighty? What do you believe about the hereafter, the resurrection, the death, the grave, life after death? What do you believe about those things? It in turn will motivate you in, or say, those things are not important to me. Giving is not that important. Good deeds is not that important to me, you know. Or I just do good deeds just because, you know, every now and then I'm moved to do so. Like, quote, this, quote, season, Christmas season that we're in. I'm motivated just because I'm in this season to do something good for someone. But it's not my practice. It's not my belief. I don't have much hope in the doing of good deeds. I just think that every now and then I'm moved. I should do something. You know, but belief is the engine behind our life. What do we believe about God? How do we believe about God? These are very important questions that we have to take a look at and understand in a personal way. You know, it's not important that I understand how you believe. But you have to understand, how do you believe and what you believe? What is it that drives you? So that it hopefully will give you a better. Of life. We measure it in time. So Allah calls it time, or we translate this here as time. You know, something that is pushing you, you know, is pushing you along. Time is pushing you along the journey of life. So as you move, believe, do good deeds, understand that. You know, which is another saying of I say Ali, one of the rightly guided prophets, is that says the breath of man are his steps towards his death. So every breath I take, every exhale, inhale, and exhale I take is one step towards death. I'm moving closer to my own death. Time is running out. It is pushing me forward. It is squeezing me, causing me to move, whether I want to move or not. Time is forcing me along. But this is the gift. This is the thing of value that we have. This is our currency. As the Iceman said, this is my capital. And now it's melting away. Up and do something with it so that you won't be left with why you were rich because of your misuse, mismanagement of your resources, you became poor. So Allah is cautioning us here, do not misuse, we do not misappropriate your resources which I have given you. I've given you resources so that you may gain in abundance. But the mishandling, the misuse thereof, will put us in total loss and or darkness, as they say. So what are you doing? What have you done lately? Well, Asra, I'm squeezing you. I'm pushing you. And at the same time, I'm doing that with a gift. So find yourself in the four things. Save yourself by doing four things. Believe, do good deeds. Says join others, or join together with others, or call others together for the sake of truth, and enjoining on each other's patience. These are the four things that God says. If you do these four things, it will increase your currency. Now, many of us, calling together or to joining together with others for the sake of truth. This is not meant to be where we are in competition with, particularly other religious faiths. We are working in collaboration with them in this fact here. This is not us working against them. And I think this is somewhere where, and I say Muslims and Christians and, you know, and others, we think that the joining together, the coming together for the purpose of teaching the truth, of advancing the truth, is somehow making an attack upon each other. That is not this. We are people of the book. We are people of the book. It is to encourage each other, to help each other, to become more mindful that we all are on the same journey. We're all moving down the same path. We're all, with every breath that we take, every time we exhale, we have lost a little bit of our life. A little bit of our life has just left us. So if we all join together, as I say, in the mutual teaching of truth, the recognizing, being respectful of truth, being respectful of that there is a God, there is a last day, and that we're all in this race towards that which is good. We're here to do good deeds. I'm not here to hinder you from doing good deeds, nor are you here to hinder me from good deeds, nor are your good deeds any less than my good deeds. Because you're Christian, I'm Muslim, and your good deeds seem to be less. No, absolutely not. Everybody's good deeds, Allah is going to reward them for. This is sent to all mankind. And Asra, all mankind, every human being. This is not a call to Muslims, to Christians, or this or that, to every human being. God is calling you and he's reminding you and saying to you, time is squeezing you out. It is putting you over the cliff. Do not get in a race with time. Time is going to win. But if you do these four things, then you can beat time. Then you would have utilized time. You would have made the best use of your capital. You would have taken your money and spent it in the best way. Believe, do good deeds, and come together in respect for truth. And then be patient with each other, with others, and be patient with life. Be patient with the adversities of life. But don't get in this battle between Muslims and Christians, Jews and Gentiles, Hindus or whatever. That's not the message here. So Muslims, particularly, I guess, because they're the one reading this probably more than anybody else, is back it up a little bit. Don't take this as, you know, we have the truth, they don't. No. Okay? You have the truth, some of the truth, they have some of the truth. But that the issue here is can we come together in respect of truth? Okay? Can we come together and respect truth in all of us? I respect the truth that is with you. You respect the truth that is with me. You respect that I believe in God. I respect that you believe in God. I respect your good deeds, and I want you to respect my good deeds. All of us are people of the book. Every human being, Allah says, come to these four things. Whether you're black or white, red or yellow, come to these four things. Whether you live in the city or you live in the country, in Sana, every human being, listen to these words. Take heed. God is saying, take heed here. Al-Asr is going to win. I've only given it to you for a short period of time. So we're talking about the Surah Al-Asr today. It's on American Muslim 360. And it's application, I say, in your life. How we need to take and turn our thinking in the direction that God is pointing us. Time is not money. Time is a currency. It is a currency. But it's not something that you sell for money. It says, do not sell. It's another statement by Khalifa Ali. It says, verily, there is no price for you except heaven. Beware. Do not sell it. Save for it. Do not sell time. Do not sell it. Use it. Save for it. Heaven is your reward. Heaven is your reward. But you have to earn it in this life. This is divine success. If I earn heaven, if I get heaven, if I'm rewarded heaven, then I have achieved divine success. There's a certain amount of worldly success I want also. Allah says in the Quran, do not forget your portion of this world. You have a duty to serve in this world, to work, to accumulate things, but do not fall in love with them. Do not become overly attached to this world that you sail next world. So again, this Asr is this reminder in a very pointed way that do not sail the hereafter. Do not get so enamored with this life so connected to the earth, to your possessions, to the goods, to gold, money. You know, I guess you could say the cardinal things of life, you know, sex, just having pleasure, just want pleasurable things, just want to do pleasurable things. And you forget that time is squeezing you out. It is pushing you right off the cliff. The only way to survive, the only way you're going to have a parachute when that time comes, is that you believe, you do good deeds, you have a respect for the truth, and you respect other people with the truth, and you want to join with them, whether they are of your faith or not. You have a desire to join with other individuals who are in this same pursuit. They understand the currency of life, and they're using it to promote the truth, to promote good deeds. I'm looking for those individuals. I'm searching those individuals out, and I want to join with them. And I don't want to be judged by my faith, my way of believing is different than yours. I have a different philosophical view on it, and you have a different one. Let's don't judge each other on that. Let's judge each other that the mere fact that we have a respect for this use of our time, of spending our currency. So let's come together on that basis. No discrimination. No discrimination. No play hating, as they say. I'm not going to play hate on you. You don't play hate on me. We're going to leave all that behind. We're going to drop that at the door. So let's just come here as a human family, and Santa, come here as one human family, come here as a human family, and let's operate, let's work as a human family. Because we only increase each other's value when we do so. You know, I saw a sign yesterday, a quote by Henry Ford, and if I hope I got it in my mind correctly. Working together, no, let's see, staying together is progress. Working together is success. So we have to, first of all, be able to come together. Then we have to be able to stay together. Then we have to be able to work together. This is success. So us just coming and meeting together is good. But it's not divine success. Us staying together is good. We made progress. We haven't split apart because of our differences, because of our diversities. We've been able to hang together. We're making progress now. But now that we now come to work together, now that we're working together, now this is success. So this is what Allah is saying to us here. Enjoin on each other truth. Come together and be successful. Make progress. Be successful and get something honestly done. And not be in infighting. You know, so interfaith forms is a good thing. We should encourage it. We should promote them. We should be out there establishing them. If you have a soup kitchen, the Muslim have a soup kitchen, it should be open to the Christians as well, anybody. If the Christian have a soup kitchen, it should be open to everybody. Because we want people who enjoy in this good work, people who want to do good deeds, people who believe, even if it's temporary. Again, during this season, some people temporarily will get involved. Hopefully they will get bitten by the bug of doing good deeds, being among other people who are mutually seeking to be successful, divinely successful, that they say, you know what, I want to continue to hang out with you people. I love what you're doing here. I want to become a part of this. This is the hope that we have, should have. So, even if we, as they say, even if we own the whole world, even if we had all of the richness of the world, we could not buy time. When the time runs out, that's it. So utilize it. If you're young, young right now, maybe being meaning between 18 and 35, or definitely less than 40 years old, to be mindful of the middle period of life. Be mindful of the middle period of life, where you become somewhat carefree. Allah says, be mindful of your middle prayer. Be mindful and be obedient. Because when we reach, we come from that young age, now that we got intelligence, somewhat intelligence, I guess. Our maturity has come to where we break away from our families, we break away from our parents. We're out here on our own, we're doing our thing, we're having our children, and all these things are happening for us. We have a tendency to forget. This is part of the insana in us. And now we want to just live a life of carefree. So Allah says, be mindful of this time period. Be mindful. Because even if you owned everything in the world, you could not buy this time back.
World were mine, I would place at your feet all that I own. You've been so good to me. If this world were mine, I'd give you the flowers, the birds and the make you a king with wealth untold. You could have anything if this world were mine. I'd give you each day so sunny and blue, and if you
love.
buy time back. You cannot buy heaven. You cannot buy the hereafter if you lose it in this life. So, we as a people, as they say, we shall overcome. But how do we overcome? God gives us four ways to overcome. To overcome ourselves, to overcome this world, to overcome what we want to say, Satan. You know, the things that influence us to do otherwise. How do you overcome these things? Believe. Belief is the beginning. Then do good deeds. Believe in doing good deeds for the sake of Allah. And not to glorify yourself. Not to increase your I love me wall with all your plaques and everything else. To get a new accolades from somebody. Don't do it for that reason. Do it for the sake of God. Do it because you want to purchase a place in the hereafter. This is how I buy my way into the hereafter. Okay? You don't have to bribe God. It's not a bribery. It's not that we're bribing God. God says again, you know, you're like in this life, if you want to make it to the Super Bowl, you need to be the best team. There is a little bit of a competition here. We're going to join with others, just like you do on any other team. We join together with others, and we all have a single purpose, and we have a goal. In this case, using the football as an example, we as a team, we want to make it to the Super Bowl. That's our goal. No? We must work as a team. Even though I'm the quarterback, I know that I cannot make it to the Super Bowl if nobody's out there blocking me. If there's nobody out there to catch the ball. If nobody's running the patterns. If the coaches aren't doing their job. I know, I don't care how much of a star power I may be, I can throw that ball as deep as whatever. But I cannot make it there on my own. So God tells us, join together with others. Other people want to go to the Super Bowl also. Create you a team of people. Surround yourself with individuals who want the same thing that you want. It's another saying of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, our faith is influenced by our circle of friends. Our faith is influenced by our circle of friends. So we want to get ourselves a circle of friends who have faith, people who believe, people who have faith that good deeds matter, that truth is important, that being patient and steadfast is valuable in life. I want a circle of friends. I want a circle of blockers, I guess, getting back to the football thing, who understand this. And they're prepared to block, to run the patterns, to do what we all need to do. We all have a specialty on the team. So let's all fall in place. Forget the big I's and the little U's. Forget that I'm the pastor, the minister, I'm the deacon, I'm the imam, I'm the head of the school or whatever, different position. Forget all that. In the eyesight of God, position is not going to matter. So forget that. Just understand that we have a specialty, we have a position that we play best. And we should understand and we should be trying to seek out that information from individuals. Not forcing people into positions, but find out where do you work and you serve best. How can you serve me and I serve you? So that we all can earn that which God has already put out there for us. By using time properly, by not allowing it to squeeze us out of our reward, but using it to squeeze more valuable out of us. Asura means to be squeezed or to be given something of value. We squeeze the juice out of something. We get the value out of it. We've interpreted it as time. Life is the value that has been given to us. It's something, so squeeze it. Pressure it. Make it perform. Make it be action-oriented so that you get something out of it, something of value. Okay? You got a peach. You want peach juice. You got to squeeze it. You want orange juice. You got to squeeze it. If you want something out of life, then you got to squeeze it. Got asura. Squeeze it. Push it. Use it. But know that by that thing that you use, it will never get you what you want by itself. It's only a gift. Okay? The fruit is good. The juice in it is a gift. The juice is a gift to you. Now, when you embrace that, and you understand that you are deceived by your own your own take on life, and you look at yourself in the mirror, you can be deceived by your beauty. In some cases, you're deceived by your thinking that you are incapable of. You're deceived at all times. You're deceived that you can't go and do something because you look at yourself as being inferior. You know? In some cases, it's because of skin color. You are deceived by these things, God tells us. You are deceived by them. This is the nature of man, so to speak. So, don't be deceived. And don't allow your position in life to deceive you. Whether it's a lowly position or a highly high position, do not allow it to deceive you that you do not have the capability to achieve divine success. It is for you, but you have to work at it. And you don't have to give up this world in order to get divine success. But you don't want to become attached to this world such that you sell divine success for the possessions in this life. Don't become so attached to your money. Don't become so attached to your time, to your car, your house, your status in life, you know, your children, your lineage. And I'm born of good lineage. I'm born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Don't become too attached to those things. They're important, but they're not that important. Use them properly. Use them to squeeze as much as you can out of El Asra. Life, time, this gift that has been given to you. You do that by, first of all, establishing belief, turning and recognizing that there is a God. La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. There is no God but God. There is nothing worthy of my worship. There is nothing worthy of my attention. No. Marvin Gaye has a song. He says, you know, I don't even have time to think about the weather or how long it's going to last. I don't have time to think about where the rivers flow. Okay? Because he's so enamored with this woman, this girl, lady. See, this is the definition of faith, but faith in God. It's to be so enamored with God that you don't have time to think about other things. Be enamored with God. Do things in the name of God. You seek your bounty in this world in the name of God. sincerely. Okay? One of the other things, and we're going to hopefully do a show on this one day too, and that is that, you know, hypocrisy is a big problem for the human being. Big problem. We all have a little bit of hypocrisy in us. But we don't want it to grow to a mountain or a redwood tree. You know, we want to keep hypocrisy to its level of minimum. But all of us have a little hypocrisy in us. But my point is don't become hypocritical. Do things in the name of God sincerely. Do not become hypocritical. Because some of us say we're doing it in the name of God, but we're not doing it in the name of God. Some of us, Muslims particularly, this terminology, or Christians use it too. You know, if God will, I'm going to do something. But we put no effort in doing it. We stated that we're going to do it if it's God's will, but we put no effort in it. We put no energy behind it. We don't plan. We don't go. We don't do nothing. We just say it and we walk on. That's hypocrisy. So we need to stop and take a good look at what we honestly believe and how much faith do we actually have in God. Because this is the beginning of increasing our currency, our value in this life. We increase our life value by believing that there is no God but the one God. Our value is automatically increased. So this is the thing we're talking about here, is how do we use, when this verse here called time, how do we use it to the best of our ability? God tells us to do four things. Have faith. Have hope in tomorrow. Have faith in Him. Have faith that there is a hereafter. Have faith that there is a judgment day. We have to have faith in these things. Otherwise, the doing of good deeds is just something, again, probably do more out of hypocrisy or to be seen of other people. But believe first. Establish your level of belief. Establish that you have currency, I guess, the consciousness to see that your life is not sustained by you. This world is not sustained by you. It doesn't sustain itself. It didn't bring itself into existence. So how do we come to understand this world? First of all, I'm going to have faith that there is something outside of this world that maintains this world. I understand that, and I'm going to accept and I'm going to submit to that. And when I submit to that, then we can be thankful. You know? Then we can say, you know, be gratitude. We can show gratitude. We can show thanks, appreciation. And always be able to just, as they say, say thank you.
I remember one night I was sitting in my home. My family was already asleep. And as my mind began to roam, I started to reminisce about where God had brought me from. Thought about how good He's been to me, even when I was doing wrong. And I said, Lord,
nothing can. Just make me humble myself.
I want to humble myself
and take this moment out.
One moment out.
Just to say thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh. And if my life should end today,
if my life should end today,
and I know the blessing comes
my way. Oh.
Watching the news, I saw people dying everywhere, some starving to death. They didn't have no food,
no food.
So what gives me the right to complain about anything?
No need to complain.
Even when I fought turn the tide, God always blessed me with more than
I
love. Nothing else.
Just let me humble myself.
I wanna take a moment out
and take this moment out.
Just to say
thank you.
And give my life.
And if my life should end this day,
oh,
and not another blessing come my way.
All I need
is one breath. Just to say
Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace. I'm going to deviate for just a second here, you know, because I know some people might be a little, I don't know, surprised, maybe taken back. I'm not sure which one. That, you know, me say as Muslim, I play Christian song, gospel music, you know. But to me, you have to have a great appreciation, I mean, for people who sing praise God. I mean, you know, I understand that, again, Christians say Jesus sometime in the place of God. But, you know, but again, that's what we understand, that it's just in the place of God, that they do believe in oneness. They believe that they are people of the book. They are people, again, as Allah says in the Quran, they are closest to you in faith. So, you know, I definitely embrace good gospel music, you know. Some maybe more than others, but love it. You know, there's at least out here on Sunday morning, there's a show, I think it's called, I'm not sure what the name of the show is, but I think the host or the DJ is, they call him Walt Baby Love or something like that there. Play some good gospel music. I, you know, don't always have an opportunity to listen to on Sunday, but get a chance to listen to every so often and what have you. But my point is this. People doing good work is people doing good work. They don't have to do it exactly like me. They don't have to have the same approach that I have. But if they're doing good work, the twin servant of priests appreciates it, takes his hat off to you, want to support it in some way, shape, or form. So to me, this is, what they say here is the next principle or thing that we should do, is to do good works. So, don't, again, you know, we're too caught up in our own separate wanting to be right, you know, wanting to be the best, wanting to be the only, all those kinds of individuality, kinds of mentalities that we, I say, inherited from America, but it's not really America. This is all over the world, all over the world. Among Muslims, we have been bitten by the bug just as much as anybody else. We are just as separated among ourselves based upon certain themes as anybody else is separated. We are doing ourselves a disservice. We are not joining together for the truth. We need to break down some of the barriers, put some of the differences aside, push those things to the back, and look each other in the eye as just good people. People who have good hearts, have good intentions, who are out there trying to do the best they can with what they got. Just go over and give your brother, your sister a hug, give them a lending hand, and say, look, how can I help you? It's a heavy load you got here. I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. So let me help you. How do I do this? Give me direction. I don't have to be on top all the time. Okay? We have to get a higher, better respect for people who just do good. People who are just, they're different from us, or let's say they're, you know, they think differently, they worship differently, but why should that hold me back? It should be a reason for me to maybe engage them more. As Allah says in the Quran, He says, I've created you different, I've created you diverse, I've created you in different cultures, different languages, different colors. All kinds of differences are among you. Why? So that you will get to know each other. Curiosity should stimulate you to get to know this person. Why? When you get to know the diversity in which I created in this world, you may come to know God better. Understand the diversity in this world. Understand the differences of colors. Why some are tall and one are short. You know, one is black and one is white. One is yellow, one is red. Understand the differences in this world, the diversity I placed in this world, and understand this, that none of you are better than the other. Not one. Zero. Nilch. Nobody is better than the other except those who have faith, join together to do good deeds, call each other to the truth, remind each other of the truth, and be patient. Be steadfast. Wait for God's judgment. You stop trying to judge every situation. That's what got you messed up right now. Because you're trying to call judgment on everything. Oh, they Christian. Don't worry about them. You know, don't worry about that brother over there. He don't believe like you, like me and you believe. No. They black. They African. They don't worry about them people over there. You're passing too much judgment on Allah. And then you do this in the name of Allah, therefore you've lied on Allah. Stop lying on Allah. Allah said this is a sin to lie on Him, to say something that He did not say or try to approve of something that He did not approve of. We lie on Allah. We lie on God. We need to stop that. Check ourselves. And bring ourselves back to the remembrance. Just say, you know what? I'm no better than anybody else. Matter of fact, this weekend at the institution, at the prison, I was talking to a group of sisters, and a sister said to me, well, brother, you know, you the imam, and, you know, what you telling us, and, you know, you need to be this and that, and blah, blah, blah. I said, look, sister, I'm just one among you. I'm trying to get to where you're trying to get to, too. If you want to reject what I say, reject it. It's okay. It's not going to hurt me none. If you accept it based upon the fact that you have come to some level of understanding about this. But always continue to check it out. Because I am not going to be there on the day of judgment for you. Don't even call me as a witness for you. Okay? Now, this is where we all are. We're all in the same boat. So then the next day, a sister, reading in the Muslim Journal in this case, she said, you know, brother, yesterday, you were right. She's different, a sister. She was reading in the Muslim Journal where a man with the Muhammad was basically saying the same thing. You know, don't try to blame your Islam on me. I'm giving you, as he was saying, he's sharing with you information that you may take it, and you may even take it higher than he's taking it. Because all of this belongs to Allah. It don't belong to me. It belongs to Allah. You may take Surah Asra and make a better interpretation of it than what I'm doing here. It's okay. We both grow because we both come together for the mutual joining together to understand truth. Hopefully I encourage you by this broadcast to learn more, and particularly about God and the oneness of God. That's my purpose, I guess I say that. No, it's not my purpose is not to make you Muslim or Jew or Christian or this or that. My purpose is to say, stop and learn more about God. Why don't we engage in this conversation as equals? I can learn something from you. You can learn something from me. We take it to somebody else. They then include in this circle. We all learn from each other. So therefore, hopefully, inshallah, we have spent our time wisely. We've squeezed as much out of it as possible. We all come with a better understanding, and we arrive at the Super Bowl. Getting back to that analogy, I think I left it earlier. But we can't, you know, but we don't need to set up little eyes and big U's, or other way around, I think it goes, right? Big eyes and little U's. Just because someone wears a title of imam, don't make them more learned than the people sitting on the carpet. The preacher is not more learned than the people sitting in the pews. We all equals. We need to stop trying to present our knowledge. Present ourselves as though we're better than the people we're talking to. Allah says in the Quran, don't you, O reader, as you're reading and admonishing others, do you not bring to mind? Do you not harbor in your heart a love for this and a fear for Allah? See, we get so involved in admonishing others that we forget what we're even saying to them. We don't use it in our own lives. So we have to be careful, because this position, let's say, even being here on the radio, imam, preachers, ministers, deacons, and all them kind of, those positions bring higher responsibility. So you have to be careful, mindful that you're stepping into this position. And I'm sure that's somewhat what the sister was telling me. But at the same time, let's make sure that people understand that they have the right to reject outright, unequivocally, what we say. Let us don't become so in love with our words, that which we speak out of our mouths, as if it is the word of God. My words are not the word of God. I'm trying to interpret. I'm trying to understand something better. I'm trying to engage you in the process. You know, help me understand it better. If you got something to offer, give it up. But understand that we all come together as one individual, as one, even in our diversity. And none of us are better than the other. Not one. As Jesus said, let him who is out sin cast the first stone. You hear a lot of rocks dropping to the ground. Boom, 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 boom. Footsteps. Everybody getting out of here. Okay? But we have to stop presenting ourselves as better than the people we talk to. Join in with them. Just say, hey, look here, you know what? I'm just going to get with you. Let's just go with this thing. Let's leave this title on the roster, okay? When I step off the roster, I'm stepping away from the title. Just call me Brother So-and-so. Call me Sister So-and-so. Leave the title behind. Don't walk around wearing the title as if it's clothing, you know? Look at me. Look how good I look in this title. See? We might have now moved into hypocrisy. Our preaching, our teaching, our instructions are no longer have much value to them anymore. They lost value because we pride ourselves in being the leader of this or that. It's not, you know, for the love of God, just remember that. For the love of God, I do what I do. And when I say I'm speaking more of a general I, but I like to think personal too. But in the general sense, I do what I do because I love God. I love truth. I love doing good things. And I love being patient and waiting on my Lord. I'm going to be steadfast with him. And the title means nothing to me. Keep it. Take it. Do whatever you want with it. If you don't want me in the position anymore, I'm okay with that too. Because it's just not that important. In the scheme of things, I'm not going to buy my way into heaven because of this title. And especially if I have become so hypocritical about the title. Then the title is going to be like a rope around my neck. It's going to hang me. So get rid of it. Put it, look, I don't want to come near that thing. If I'm not on that roster, don't even speak to me like that. Don't even ask, don't perch your mouth. To say, preacher, don't, no. Minute, no, no, no. Email, no, no, no. Don't even say that. Keep that to yourself. Don't put in my ego that somehow I'm ahead of the people. No. Never get that way. Okay? Anyway, this is Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace, and we're having our discussion today in and around the Surah Al-Asr. I didn't kind of set it piecemeal, I guess, throughout. I'm dropping all kinds of things here. Forgive me if you hear those things. I never did read in its totality, but let's read it in its totality. I guess depending on which book. I got several books in front of me. They got kind of different. What you call? I'm going to read it this one. It says, by the time verily man is in loss, except those who believe and do righteous deeds. And this one says, and recommend to others the truth, and recommend to them to be patient. Okay? I kind of like the word recommend, because it maybe can get some people to kind of back down off of their wanting to, their aggressiveness, maybe. They're maybe being over assertive. You know, brother, we got to teach everybody the truth, brother. They don't know. They don't know what we know, brother. So let's make sure we know. We got to get out here and teach these people. They don't understand how we understand, brother. You know, them Christians, they just don't got it, man. We got the best book. You know what? Hey, if it ain't made you better, and I said ain't, if it ain't done nothing for you, it ain't better. So, stop running around here acting like, hey, I got this and that. It's a beautiful book, don't get me wrong. But the Bible's a beautiful book. Okay? The Torah is a good, beautiful book. But the proof, as they say, is in the pudding. If your life is not improving, if your life, if you as a person is not getting better because of the book, it ain't the book. It's you. But people are looking at you and they're judging the book by it. They're looking at you and they're judging the religion by it. They're looking at you and they're judging everybody else by it. So, my thing is this. I'm talking to Muslims, I guess. The Quran is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful book. Absolutely beautiful. The more you get into it, the more it overwhelms you. The more actually you drown in it. To be honest with you, you drown in it. But as a community, as a group of people, until we start to show, and let's just say just El Asr, we just concentrated on this. If we honestly showed more deference for each other as brothers in the faith, sisters in the faith, we showed more deference for each other, whether we were black, white, Arabian, Arab is what I'm trying to think of. Whether we from the Pacific Islands, wherever. If we show more deference for each other, people will appreciate us better. Okay? We talk a good game, but I'm not sure we walk a good game. If we just hit, and I say hit the street, but if doing good work, if we just did more for fellow Muslim, our fellow parishioners, if we did more for them, people would say, you know what? Them Muslims, they about something. If we just got together, and I say in the teaching of the truth, but not in the sense of always trying to convert people, but how do we live this life in front of people? How do we show them the life of Prophet Muhammad in us? We need to stop being so angry. You know, stop feeling like everybody is down on the Muslim. I told the people at the prison one time, we have to learn how to suffer like everybody else has had to suffer. This just may not be a good time for Muslims, but we can make it a better time. But we have to take a new look at our own self and our own projection of this religion, of this way of life. Okay? And stop posting these videos of Muslims yelling and screaming. Stop posting that stuff. Don't send that stuff to your friends and your family. delete it. Get rid of it. You're not doing them favors. You know? Man, look at that brother. He all up in them. Man, you're not doing anybody any favors. And you can't find, if you read the life of Prophet Muhammad 10 times, 100 times, you are not going to find him acting like that. Nowhere. So why are we so proud of these individuals? I'm not proud of them all. It's a shame. It's a shame. And then we say, Islam is about peace. I may have got on my soap opera, maybe, forgive me. But then we say Islam is about peace, and then you get all these angry Muslims. You know, always trying to call down with America, down with this, down with that. Where is this in the life of Prophet Muhammad? Where is it? Where is it? You know? Yes, I say to you too, fighting is prescribed for you. But Allah says, but he who forgives is greater. So we can do a great service to what we call the religion of Islam by just toning it down. Tone it down. Okay? And I'm not going to defend every crazy Muslim who do something. Don't think that I, Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace, is going to defend every Muslim who do something crazy. I'm not into that business. If you're doing something crazy, I'm just going to call it crazy, and I'm moving on. I ain't going to spend two breaths, you know, of talking about that for day in and day out. You know? Not going to feel like I got to apologize for every Muslim who do something crazy. Okay? Again, I don't see everybody apologizing for every Christian that done something crazy. Okay? People could still be apologizing for the Ku Klux Klan to me today, if that was the case. But I'm not falling into those trick bags. I don't condone it. I don't accept it. I'm not into it. So, I don't come to your aid and I don't come to your defense. If you're doing it, go do it someplace else. Do it in your own name and don't holler Allahu Akbar when you go do something. There's no justification. You lie on Allah. You misrepresent the life of Prophet Muhammad when we do these things. Okay? You don't have to take these approaches. There's times when things might get a little rough, or you need to make some statements. I understand those times. Been there, done that. Okay? But let us try to get back to some of the just very rudimental principles of this religion. And I believe that God will change the condition of the Muslim. When you change what is in your heart, Allah says, I will change your condition. Until then, we need to learn how to suffer. It is our time to suffer. So suffer. Learn how to suffer. When you learn how to suffer, Allah will also bless you. Okay? You're not on top. We're not on top now. So join together with those who want to do good work. Go and join with them. Don't let nobody tell you that you can go join with Christians to do good work. No such thing. Okay? And we shouldn't all be over there trying to convert Christians. That's a whole job over there. That's not the way it works either. Okay? If they say they believe in God, accept that. And then go to work. Okay? And then go to work. And just be among the people. Be friendly. Be open. Okay? This is what we need to do. This is what we are today, I believe, anyway. Okay? Again, might have got off a little bit, but I apologize for I'm just being respectful to my audience, if nothing else. Because we came here to talk about Astra, and so I want to honor that. And so that's what we're talking about. But like a whole lot of other things, let me go and, as they say, get on bending knees and make nice a lot, and I'll be right back with you. Welcome, guests 193 in the chat room.
Can you tell me how a prayer?
You can get down on bending knees before your Lord. Anyway, next and the last piece of this verse, and I know we've probably gone over it, maybe it's a very short one, and people say, well, man, kind of go over that kind of thoroughly, but anyway, we just want to kind of keep reiterating some things, because Allah is saying to us, you know, here very pointedly, time is not on your side. It is not necessarily your friend, and it's not necessarily your enemy. It's how you use it, excuse me, that will make it one or the other. But time is not your possession. It's not something that you own. It's a gift. It's something that God has given to you. And so you can use this gift, as they say, for good or for wrong. And then, as some people will tell you, you know, they buy you a gift, and they tell you how they want you to use the gift. What is it? How do you get the best out of this gift? Then God tells us that. Here's how you get the best out of this gift of time. Because he also understands you as a person, he's the creator of you. So he understands that you are not always mindful. You're forgetful. You get lax sometimes. You begin to think that you are the Almighty. You look around and you say, "Oh wow, look at, I'm man. I'm woman. I'm this and that." So he says, "Look, you know, let me tone you down a little bit, because right now you're running a losing race. You're in a race against time, and you're going to lose. So God, through his mercy, he wants you to understand this. Don't stay in a race over there. You're not going to win it. But if you do these other things, you have a better chance of winning, of reaching that goal that I want you to reach." But one of those things is the last one here, is they say, is be patient. Be steadfast. Be steadfast is, again, is to be able to establish yourself in the other three things, as well as to say that you have honestly and sincerely chosen this path and you will not be moved from it. Okay? I think there's a Christian song that says something about, I'm like a willow tree planted by the river. I shall not be moved. You know? Same concept here. Be steadfast. Plant yourself in faith. Plant yourself in good deeds. Plant yourself in truth. And plant yourself in steadfastness. This will serve you better than running in a race against time. This will serve you better. If you go this way, your chances of getting better results, squeezing out of this thing something better, accomplishing better goals, better objectives, this is the better recommendation. So God is recommending to us that we also recommend to others this same path. Recommend to others this same path. Don't be stingy. Don't be a people who say, "You know what? I don't want everybody to know about this." You should want other people to know about it. But again, not in a high and mighty kind of a way. Not in a way that says, "Hey, you know what? I'm better than you." Or, you know, if you're not Muslim, you're not making it to heaven. You're not Christian, you're not going to heaven. That's arrogance. You need to understand that. That's being arrogant. God didn't ask for that. You just go and recommend them using the best language, the best behavior. Be kind to people. Be gentle to people when you talk to them about this way. Be gentle. Be kind. Don't try to force it down their throats. You know, Give people what they can handle. So don't misuse the currency in which Allah has given you. Don't use it as if it's yours. It's not yours. It's a gift. So check with the owner of it, the one who gave it to you for your use. Check with them and see how they want you to use it. See how it was designed. Got a divine design to it. So when we take a look at that, then we can understand that truly I am at loss. When I look at my life, I look back over the last 4 or 5 years, 3 years, 10 years, whatever. Okay? I can see that I'm at loss. Many of the things that I have done has perished away already. I'm no longer in ownership of those things that I had 5 or 10 years ago. Things that I might have thought I had some permanency in or some pride in, I don't own them anymore. They've gone away. Life is the same way. It is going to go away at some point in time. So what we do with it is vital to our divine success as well as our worldly success. But just don't become too attached to your worldly success. Learn to appreciate the future. Learn to appreciate the divine design of time. That with every breath, with every step I take, I'm only moving closer to my death. So let's stop being so surprised by and shocked by or overly concerned about people dying. People die. It's life. But we sometimes, particularly when they're celebrities, you know, we're all, ooh, ooh, wow, so-and-so, blah, 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 you know. Celebrity is not going to save you from death. Celebrityship is not going to save you from the fact that you need to believe, do good deeds, join with others in the truth, and be patient, be steadfast. No one can escape that. Remember, the statement is insana, everybody, all human beings, everybody. Everybody, you need to take heed of these four little verses here, phrases. You need to take heed of these things. Take heed of them. Regardless of your status in this life, it doesn't matter. If you achieve high status, remember this. If you fall from high status, remember this. If you have money, remember this. If you lose your money, remember this. If you had a house today, remember this. If you're homeless tomorrow, remember this. This is what you need to do. And accept our lot in life. Okay? Accept our lot in life, so to speak. I don't mean that we're not working hard to change things and improve our situation, but it doesn't change, it doesn't improve. Accept our lot in life. Be steadfast. Believe. Do good deeds. Continue to have faith. Don't think that, oh, well, God ain't real because, you know, I didn't get my Mercedes this year. You know, God didn't give me a job, so God must not be real. That's not being steadfast. Okay? That's not being steadfast. No. We look and we say, you know, because of the pain in my heart, God hasn't healed this pain in my heart. So therefore, he must not be real. No, that's forsaking God. That's not being steadfast. Okay? Someone came to me the other day and they said, you know, I'm kind of depressed. And I don't know what's going on with me. Another person was saying, well, I'm angry and I don't know what's going on with me. No matter what's going on, you need to be steadfast. You need to be honestly and positively sure that you know that there is no God alone. There's no God but God. We might get depressed sometime in life. Okay? But we shouldn't lose hope. We shouldn't linger there. We shouldn't stay there. Because we don't want to sink into despair. We have to get up and say to ourselves, you know what? What do I have to be depressed about? God is real. God is real. So why don't I act like? Why don't I live my life as if God is real? Depression can fall off of you. Why don't I pray like God is real? Okay? Just because my individual situation is improving doesn't mean God is not real. Doesn't mean God has forsaken me in some kind of a way. See, we put things on God that is not God. Again, that amounts to a lie on God. So be careful of what we say. Do not allow the pain in your heart to change your thinking about a lie. AM 360, you know, sometimes we do hurt, and we hurt deeply, but remember, God is real. God is real. We have to learn how to suffer, and it is, and I'm real about this. We have to learn how to suffer. Suffering can improve our own faith, can deepen our faith. Okay, learn to suffer. Nothing wrong with a little suffering. No. This surah, as I said in the very beginning, it is a well-known surah chapter in the Quran. Many, many people use it on various different levels on a lot of different ways. Sometimes, and we're going to be going over all this week, some very short surahs in the Quran. Tomorrow we're going to be doing Sutta 112. Then we're going to do Wednesday we have a guest speaker. Kalima Abdul Qudus, excuse me. We'll be talking in and around abuse, and maybe you can say some issues of depression and self-esteem, and how do you overcome some of these issues. This is what she speaks on. And so we're going to be doing that on Wednesday. And on Thursday, we're going to get back to the short suttas. We're going to be doing then 113 and then 114 on Friday. We will not be broadcasting a Juma on this Friday. I will be out of town conducting a Juma myself. So we will not be broadcasting a Juma this coming Friday. But that's what this week is about. We're going to be talking about short suttas over a period of time. And while they're short, they're God has packed a lot of power into them, much power. So this is the sort of, you want to say, the miracle of the Quran. The miracle of the Quran is in the language of the Quran. You cannot just read the Quran, particularly, let's say, just in its English, but even in the English, you can get quite a bit. But the miracle, one of the miracles, let's say, of the Quran is in the language of the Quran. The word, as they say in the Bible, in the beginning was the word, and the word was powerful. We don't even always bring out the full meaning of these words while we discuss them. But I like to think that you're getting some feel. Maybe it gives you a new meaning, gives you a new awareness of this particular sutra when you use it in your salat, that it is, time is a thing that is squeezing you, and you need to squeeze back, or else you're going to be lost. So know that. You're going to be lost if you don't squeeze back. Everybody has 24 hours and 7 days a week. Do not envy anybody for what they've gotten out of their 24/7 that you didn't get out of yours. Do not envy people for that. They squeezed life. They squeeze time. Just like Allah says, and told the angels, bow down to Adam. Submit to Adam. Time is an angel. Time submitted to man. Time is doing its job. Its job is to squeeze you, to push you, to give you a sense of your own fallacies. You are not going to be infinite in the world. You're not going to last for long. Time is an angel, but it will also serve you if you squeeze back, push. Of us, we have touchscreen computers, touchscreen phones, touchscreen TVs, or whatever, whatever. You have to reach out and life will respond to you. It will respond to you because Allah has already told it to submit to you. Submit to Adam and all the generations of Adam. Submit to them. And then they engage. You much, then give them much. And some things are designed to be them. It's difficult. That's the nature of that angel. That angel ain't been mean to you. It's doing exactly what God told it to do, but it has submitted to you. But Allah gave you the power of naming things, of knowing into things. And you have to use your power. Just because it's submitted don't mean it's just going to roll over and play dead for you. You're going to have to engage that thing. So God tells us here in the Surah engage it. Because if nothing else, you're lost. You're going to be lost. Do not try to outrun time, but do engage it. Do use it properly. And let me give you some suggestions on how you use time. Believe. Have faith. Have faith. Use your time in Salat. Use your time understanding the oneness of God better. Use your time doing good deeds. Use your time being of service to others, being significant versus being successful in this world. See, being significant is worth and success. Because if you're not significant to others, then what have you really done? Then join with others in truth. Recommend truth to others. We recommend that they live a better life. Recommend that they come to understand God better. Recommend these things to people, but don't force it down their throat. And don't think that everybody has to believe like you have to believe. Allah says He is the judge. He will judge the Christians by their book and the Jews by their book and the Sabians by their book. You do not know how to judge a Christian. So stop trying to judge him or her. You don't have the knowledge of their book. You don't read the book enough. I'm speaking to Muslims, obviously. But maybe you need to go and read their book better. Get to become more familiar with their book and they with yours so that you can understand each other. And now you can join together in the mutual teaching of the truth, but don't judge each other. You don't have enough knowledge. You don't have enough insight. And then let's all enjoin each other to be steadfast. Let's recommend. I recommend to the Christian, be steadfast in your Christianity. I will be steadfast in my Islam. Can we both agree upon that? Can we both do that? I will help you. You help me. I want you to be a good Christian. I want you to be the best Christian that you can be, and I'm trying to be the best Muslim that I can be. Let's invite each other to that. Let's recommend that to each other. Okay? You know, it's not about recommending or telling everybody they got to be Muslim. That's not what Allah is saying. I know that's the way we interpret it. That's the way we take it out to the street. But Allah is not telling you to make everybody Muslim. Back up on that stuff. If the person's a good Christian, embrace them as a good Christian. Embrace that. Accept that. Join them and be part of their brotherhood, their sisterhood. Say, you know what? I'm going over to feed the homeless. You want to come with me? They say, oh, you know what? We got a soup kitchen too. Say, I'm going to come over and volunteer at your soup kitchen sometime too. You know? Let's join together in the mutual teachings of truth. Let's be steadfast in it. When we come together, let's stay together. Then let's work. The statement of Henry Ford. Coming together is one thing. Staying together is another. But working together, that's success. So Muslims, Jews, and Christians, Hindus, anybody else out there, let's come together. Drop all of these titles. Drop all of these, you know, I'm better than this. I'm better than you. I got the better book. I got the bigger God. You know, my angels serve me. What's up with your angels? You know, cut all that out. Drop that stuff. It does not serve mankind. It only furthers, sends him or her into a swirl or to a spiral downward hill, which will take all of us to hell in a handbasket, as they say. So we have to give up that stuff. because we are in a race that we cannot win. Me racing you, you racing me, and who's better? None of us is going to win that race. Because just by us being in a race because we want to see who is better has already made us hypocrites. Because that's not the race that God has told us to get in. So I'm not trying to race you to figure out, am I better than you? Is my book better than you? No. I'm in the race to see if we can work together. That's what we want to do. Can we work together? Can we break bread together? Can we go on a journey together? Can we both arrive at that which God has promised us, heaven? You, Christian, me, Muslim, you, Jew, you, Hindu, you, Native American, whatever. Can we all arrive? Can I help you? How can I help you arrive? Just tell me, what do you want me to do? What can I do for you to help you be a better Christian or Jew or whatever? How can I help you be better? Okay? You know? So, that's what we want to do. Be steadfast. Okay? Be patient. When things and affliction come against you, do not forsake God. When the pain is in your heart that is so deep, so hurt, times are so rough, that you don't know if you'll ever make it, keep hoping God. Do not let go of God. Do not let go of His great power and optimal wisdom. Wait on God. Because what you may be suffering or going through, as the saying goes, is not what I endure. It's how I endure. God is interested in the how, not the what. We get caught up in what we endured. It's how you endured. How did you come through it? How did you spend your time while you were in this suffering, this adversity? What did you do with your time when you was unemployed? What did you do with your time when you didn't have a car? What did you do with your time when you couldn't do whatever? The pain in your heart was so deep. God is not interested in the pain or what caused the pain. He's interested in how you overcame the pain. How did you get through it? And hopefully you got through it by holding on to Him. And I will never let go. And I stay calm. I don't panic. I don't become angry. I don't blame other people. I don't make excuses. I don't create scenarios that are not true. Because remember, I'm one who enjoins truth. So be truthful to yourself. So don't get this thing backwards. Whatever you're going through, understand that sometimes it is just the divine decree of God. So you looking out and seeing somebody else doing great, and let's say that you could be sitting in the same office, right across from each other. You on one desk, they in another desk, or one cubicle there and the next cubicle over. And you see your treatment as being bad, or they don't like me around here. Why are they dumping all this work on me? Why are they doing this? The person next to you, they just going along. Don't seem like they're getting as much dumped on them, you know. And now you jealous, envy of the other person. You mad at your boss because why are you treating me like this? See, this is where patience, this is where we're talking about adversity and suffering and learning how to accept adversities. Because I don't know why, but I know one thing. I strive to be the best employee I can be. So So if you've given it to me, you must think I can handle it. You must think the other person can't handle it. So I'm going to dig in and dig deep inside of me, and I'm going to meet the challenge of this thing. I'm going to meet the challenge because you must see something in me that I don't see in me. God wants something to come out of me. So now I'm going to dig deeper. I'm not going to say, oh, God, what's going on here? Why do these people treat me so bad? Okay? Most people ain't that into you. Hate to bust your bubble, but most people ain't that into you. Okay? So don't think that you all that and that people just figure out and spend all night trying to come up with some kind of design, some kind of plan to trip your day up. I'm not saying it don't happen sometimes. I'm just saying dig in. Just might be your time. God does not place on a person a burden that they cannot bear. So just take it. So let's go. Okay? I'm not saying if you got a legitimate something to have a discussion about, I'm not telling you don't have that legitimate discussion. Have the legitimate discussion. But don't envy other people. Don't make up excuses. Be steadfast. Be patient. Be comfortable. Do not become depressed. Okay? This is what steadfastness means. This is the meaning of what they're talking about, a sabra. To be patient. As I remember now, I'm thinking about right now when Imam Warfa Din Muhammad first came into office, he gave a talk on that Savior Day. He said that this house will stand even when the windows are open and the wind is blowing fiercely outside, the curtains will not move. He was saying, steadfast. We're going to be patient. We're going to be steadfast. We're not going to react to everything that comes against us. We're not going to be a people. We're not going to be a Muslim who do not understand our surroundings, our circumstances. And when you look back on what we now, I guess we used to call American Muslim Society or something, but when you look back upon the leadership of Imam Warfa Din Muhammad, what you find is he stayed true to that. He guided us through. When 9/11 hit, what you did not find is people concerned about the community of Imam Warfa Din Muhammad. He made it clear that we were American Muslims. He was the first one to raise the American flag openly and say, this is my country, and I will work hard for it. And if you need me to die and fight for it, I will die and fight for it. This is my country. This is where God brought me into existence at. This is where I am. A lot of African Americans, a lot of people took issue with him. But he was saying, I'm going to be steadfast. You're not going to move me from this. Okay, we're not going to set ourselves up as terrorists. We're not going to set ourselves up as enemies of America. We are part of America, and we're going to become part of the fabric of America. And then if you go back and read his 1978 speech entitled The Purposes, The Aims, and The Goals, and then it was called The World Community of El-Islam, you see in there, he said, look, we are going to become city managers. We're going to become hospital administrators. We're going to become city planners. We're going to become judges. This is the aims and the goals and the mission of the World Community of El-Islam. And you find in most places that the African-American Muslim who followed Warfa Din Muhammad, they are openly involved. Many other people and many other Muslims are Johnny-come-latelys on this issue. 9/11 woke a lot of people up. We were already well established. So we are steadfast. I'm saying is that the Imam Wafi Din Muhammad said in his very opening address, don't think you're going to move me, nor don't think you're going to move this community. I got this. Allah got this. And I'm going to be steadfast. And he was that. You know, many of us, and maybe somewhere, maybe me included, I didn't understand it fully at that time. Because we all came, at least, you know, as products of the 60s, you know, we come with a little bit of militant in us. You know, we come with a little bit of, no, I ain't going for that. I ain't going down like that. But you have to bring yourself to Allah. Don't make Allah come to you. Because when he come to you, you're not going to like it. So go to Allah. Submit to Allah. Take yourself over to Allah and say, here I am, Allah. Here I am. I will be steadfast. I will begin to take my time, and I will try my best to use it better in this life. Someone emailed me and they said I played a song. They wanted to know the title of that song, and that song is called Peace in My Heart. This is it right here. Peace in my heart.
Saints of God, come on, put your hands together and let's have a little touch. God will give me peace in my heart.
Give you peace,
oh, yeah.
say, time is not on your side. It's not on my side. I got to run. Take good care. Everybody have a peaceful day. Make the day a blessed day. This is Thomas Abdul-Salam, the twin servant of peace. I am out. Have a great day.
just can't get over losing you. So if I seem broken in two, walk on by, walk on by, foolish pride, that's all that I have left. Oh, let me hide the tears and the sadness you gave me. You put the hurt on me, you socked it to the mama. When you say goodbye, so please walk on by. Oh, mama, make believe you never seen a tear cry. So I'm begging you to walk on by. Oh, yeah, make believe you never seen a tear cry. I'm begging you to walk on by. Make the vegan never see the tears of cry. Oh, there's no dust in my eye. Oh, no.